Well, did you know that almost a quarter of the world's population, almost 1.1 billion people, live without electricity? And so a lot of the things that we take for granted, they have to figure out alternative ways to approach, or they just simply have to do without because they don't have electricity. One of those things is light. When we go into a dark room, we take for granted that we can reach over the wall and flip a switch and a light comes on and provides light to a very dark room. Imagine if that option were taken away and you had to navigate everywhere in the absence of light. Now, imagine that you were thrown into a building that you had never been in before, and this building was completely pitch black. And you were told that you had to navigate your way through the building from the spot where you were to another spot that you had to figure out. And it's completely dark. Now, you're also told that throughout the building, there are holes in the floor that you have to avoid. And you have to figure out where those holes are. And it's completely dark. Now, I would imagine that most of us in that situation would feel a sense of unease, a sense of trepidation, maybe even a little bit of fear in the process. Imagine a world without light. If you grew up in or around church, or maybe somewhere in the community, or in the culture growing up, you heard a song that was called "This Little Light of Mine." Anybody ever heard "This Little Light of Mine"? How many of you are singing it in your head right now? Who wants to come up here and sing it for us? Not one person. So the song's pretty simple. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." This little song that you will be singing the rest of the day in your head, and maybe for the week to come, comes right out of something that Jesus said to a group of people that were gathered around listening to him teach and talk about the things of God. And he specifically zeroes in on his followers and tells them that this idea of bringing light to the world is a role that they will serve moving forward. Now, one of his early followers was a guy by the name of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector of his day, and probably the modern day way to say tax collector is he was an IRS agent, and so that connotates some things in your mind that automatically Matthew wasn't a well liked guy in his community, and in his day. But there was a time when Jesus crossed paths with Matthew and said, "I want you to abandon your current way of life and to follow me." So Matthew abandons his way of life and follows Jesus, and everything's different for Matthew. And Matthew records his account of Jesus' life in a document that's been preserved for us and included as part of our New Testament in the Bible. So the New Testament is the part of the Bible that's written basically about the world starting at Jesus' birth and through the launch of the early church and the first century, kind of historical stuff. And so this book that we call a book, it's not really a book, it's a document, but we call them books. It's called Matthew. So they're very creative in how they titled things in relationship to the Bible. So this is titled Matthew. And here's what Matthew records Jesus saying about our imagining a world without light. Jesus says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." The phrase "light of the world" was used in that period of time to talk about the role that the sun played and how the sun would reflect light and reflect the properties of the objects that it revealed. And then it was also used by the nation of Israel to refer to God. And sometimes it was used to refer to the city of Jerusalem by the Jewish people. It was also used to refer to the Jewish law. And it was also sometimes used to refer to the nation of Israel itself. And so Jesus takes this phrase, light of the world, and at one point it had actually been applied to him. It was a title that was used to describe Jesus and his role in the world. In fact, he is one that said, I am the light of the world. And in this particular instance, he takes this phrase, light of the world, and he focuses it in right on his followers. The people gathered there that day who would choose to follow him. He says, you are the light of the world. And then he goes on to explain some things that shed some light. Catch up. Shed some light. See what I did there? Okay. I'll be here all day. So he sheds some light on what this looks like and what this means to be the light of the world. So he says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, in the area that Jesus was speaking, it was an area known as Judea. And many of the cities in Judea were built on the sides or the summits of mountains. And because of where they were located on a mountain, during the broad daylight, they could be seen very easily. Jesus says, a city built on a hill, a town built, it can't be hidden. You look around and you can see it. It's right there because of where it is. And at nighttime, those cities, so that they could be seen, would be surrounded by torch lights, which would be lit, so that the city could be seen in the dark of night. A couple of these cities, which would have been in close proximity to where Jesus was talking, was one called, and I don't know if I pronounced this right, and if you've been around here very long, you know that if there's a word in the Bible or in that culture that I don't know how to pronounce, I just make it up with confidence, and it sounds like I know what I'm saying. So this is Saphet, S-A-P-H-E-T. So one of those cities was a city known as Saphet. The other one was Jerusalem, built on a hill. And it's likely that when Jesus is talking to these people, that he points to one of these two or both of these cities and said, look for yourselves. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. And then he goes on to provide further explanation about being the light of the world. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. In this culture, most of the light that they used in their homes would have been small wicker lamps. And they would light them to provide light. If a light does not provide light, then it's not serving its purpose, right? So, we have a collection of lights. There are all sorts of different varieties and styles and colors and sizes of lights. We've got a floor lamp that provides light. We've got a candle thing that provides light. Actually provides a little bit of heat, which at 11 degrees on the way in outside feels kind of nice. We've got a lava lamp. Who doesn't love a lava lamp? It's going to be warming up and doing bubbles here in a while. Got a table lamp. And in each of these lamps are all sorts of different kinds of lights. You've got incandescent, which are, interestingly enough, now called Edison bulbs. That's what they're called. They're now called Edison bulbs, not incandescents any longer. You've got compact fluorescent. You've got fluorescent. In all of the light fixtures above your heads are LEDs. And then you've got the Christmas vacation lights all jumbled up. Somebody needs to come through and select check all of these bulbs because there are some in there that are not twinkling. Makes me want to say, good talk, Rusty. Good talk. But no matter what the size, no matter what the style, no matter what the color, light serves a purpose to provide light. And if it doesn't, we don't turn a light on to make things dark, right? When you turn a light on, your point is you want light. And if you turn a light on and it doesn't provide light, you know something's wrong. And the other thing is, there's a light under here. How many of you know that there's a light under here? Okay, the one person who put the lamp under here and covered it. No. What purpose does this light serve other than an illustration for what the point I'm making right now? Right now, this light serves no purpose. We don't provide a light and then cover it so it can't be seen. A city on a hill can't be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And then Matthew continues. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So, the little wicker lamps that they used in these days didn't cast off a whole lot of light. And so they found that if they kept them down here, it just illuminated a small area. But if they had a stand and they put it up on a stand, it would shoot light out in a greater distance and provide a wider band of light than it would. So because they wanted the wider band of light, they would put it on a stand to provide light, not for the person who lit it, but for everyone in the house. So whoever lit the lamp provided light for everyone in the house. Here's another little fun light that we have here. Just fun. All sorts of different sizes and styles and configurations of lights. But a light provides light for, it is by nature impossible for light to be kept to oneself. It is by nature impossible for light to be kept for oneself. Now, think back to when you had kids, and some of you have to think back further than some of us. But think back to when you had kids and you're driving at night. You've got your headlights on to illuminate the path that you're going. And all of a sudden, someone from the back of the station wagon, because that's what you guys had back then. We have minivans. You guys had station wagons. From the back of the station wagon, somebody says, "Hey, do you care if I turn on this light?" And what happens? That light casts light for everyone in the vehicle, not just the one person who needs it. And then Matthew continues what Jesus said. He says, in the same way, hey, I'm not done. Fair? All right. I only did that because my daughter did that one time and I called her out and I got in trouble. So that's my son. And so since I called her out, I had to equal the scorecard. Because I guarantee you they keep score. God, I guarantee you they keep score. On everything, they keep score. So Jesus says to this group of people, in the same way, so in other words, just like a city on a hill can't be hidden, just like a lamp isn't put under a bowl. Now, the interesting thing is there was an exception to people who would put a lamp under a bowl. So, generally speaking, a lamp would be lit, and then when it was no longer needed and they were going to go to bed for the night, they would extinguish the light and it would be left off for the night. However, there were people who would actually light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They were people who were up to no good. They would hide the light so that when everyone else was asleep, they could remove the bowl and then go do whatever they were going to do under the cover of night without others knowing because they had hidden the light without having to extinguish it. Interesting, right? Okay, a couple of you thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting. So he says, just like a light can't be hidden, let your light shine before others. He says that the role that followers of Jesus will serve is to serve as a light before others. And then he explains why. He says that, because, so that, for, they, meaning not you, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, it is important to note how the two things that Jesus says here connect together. Following Jesus means doing what Jesus did. And Jesus' life was full of good deeds. And so followers of Jesus' life should be full of good deeds. He said, let your light shine before others. In the same way that a city on a hill, in the same way that a light can't be hidden, you let your light shine before others so that they, other people, may see your good deeds. Meaning our lives should be marked by good deeds. And glorify your Father in heaven. Our life is not marked with good deeds as followers of Jesus so that we get the attention and so that we get the credit and so that people look at us and go, oh, look how good deedish they are. It is so people look at our lives and go, oh, look at how good deedish their lives are. What's different? It's in their relationship with God. And our lives serve as a light to point people to reflect. Okay, so without getting into all the science of it, because the science of it is about electromagnetic radiation and reduction and redaction and refraction and our retinas, the simplest way to describe how light works is it reveals the properties of the object it reflects. As followers of Jesus, we are to reveal the properties of the God that we reflect. That is the role that Jesus describes to his followers. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to serve as a light to point people into right relationship with God. Now, just as there are all different sorts and sizes and shapes and colors of lights, there are all different sizes and shapes and varieties and colors and sizes of followers of Jesus. There are, in this one strand, there are orange lights, green lights, pink lights, blue lights. The lava lamp is bubbling. But they all serve one purpose. No matter the size, no matter the shape, no matter the variety, no matter the color. How many of you have ever seen a black light? A black light, interestingly enough, when it's that she's going to move this camera and then I'm going to move. So a black light, interestingly enough, do you know what a black light reflects? White. It's fascinating to me how a black light reflects white, which is why when you go to the skating rink and they turn on the black light, all your white stuff glows up. But each and every light, no matter what color, serves the same purpose. And as followers of Jesus, all of us serve the same purpose, to reflect the properties of the God we reveal. Reflect. So when followers of Jesus gather together, it is known as the church. And there's the big church, which includes all churches everywhere, and then there are local churches like this one here. And anytime a gathering of followers of Jesus gather together as the church, they begin to establish a unique personality, a unique identity, and an approach to what kind of light they will be. This is sometimes what churches are known for in their community, and it's how they intentionally connect the story of Jesus to they, so that others can be invited into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So, to wrap up our time this morning, I want to share some of those pieces for Hurricane Community Church. This is often what is known as our brand story. And I'll need you to kind of hang with me, because I am trying to sum up over a year's worth of work with multiple teams, and countless conversations in just a few minutes. So, you ready? Can you hang with me? All right, we're going to do it. So, what one piece of a brand story, and here's the interesting thing about this piece. This particular piece, people often equate with the brand itself. However, this is just one part of a brand. It is actually, though it's a big part, it is what is called a visual representation of the brand. Okay, I told you you need to hang with me. It is more commonly called a logo. Okay? So, what I would like to do is to show you the logo for Hurricane Community Church, and then explain some of the rationale behind the logo. On your mark, get set, and remember that there are different varieties and sorts, sizes, and colors of lights. This is our color, okay? You ready? Oh, what are you doing? Stole my thunder. I was ready. Okay, so this is the logo for Hurricane Community Church. And I'll just encourage you real quickly to turn your heads to the back, because the color on that screen is better than the color on this screen. The color back there is more of a reflection of the actual color than this one. This one's a little bluer. That's a little tealer. So the H on the inside of the logo serves to mimic the stained glass windows in our building. It is a way to connect our heritage with the current culture in which we strive to connect people into relationship with God. And so the H serves to mimic that. And on the outside of the H are C's. So it's Hurricane Community Church. And those C's connect the H. So the one connects at the top, the one connects at the bottom. You see that? And those connections reflect our desire to connect the generational dots to close the generational gap. If you have no idea what I just said, go out to the church's website, which is now hurricanecommunity.church, by the way. And so now you're all grabbing your devices and looking up hurricanecommunity.church. So to connect the generational dots and to connect the generations into relationship with God. But it also serves to reflect our desire to connect people in the community surrounding the church into right relationship with God, who may, in fact, as we sit here today and as we go about the routine of our day, they may, in fact, be completely disconnected from God and church. Now, one of my favorite parts about the logo is something that was not even included in the designer's rationale. But as I looked at the logo, I noticed at the top and the bottom is a space. And that space to me is not a disconnect. It's not that things are disconnected. It's that there is a path for those on the outside to make their way in. And shouldn't the church have that open path? Shouldn't the church, as it seeks to connect the generations and connect the community and connect people in the community into a growing relationship with Jesus, shouldn't the church be a place that has that openness? So, pretty cool, right? So, that is just one part of the overall brand story. The other parts that really begin to shape and kind of craft and mold what you do and how you do and stuff like that is figuring out how to connect the story of Jesus with people in the community who need that connection made. So, this isn't just an age thing, okay? It's just kind of a life thing and kind of a people thing. But the current generation that's emerging as the young adults right now, they are looking for answers to life's problems. They're looking for answers to life questions and solutions to life's problems. And they are rapidly coming to the conclusion that the church and the story of the church has nothing to offer them in relationship to answers to questions and solutions to problems. And so for the church to earn the right to be heard, for the church to earn the right to be considered, we have to understand the tensions and the challenges that they face. And we have to understand that they want a safe place to belong, where they are valued, their time is honored, they have a sense of security and safety, but there is an openness to discover and explore and to ask questions. As they navigate the tensions and challenges of life, they have created in their minds an expectation of what that is supposed to look like and what their responsibilities are supposed to be in the midst of it. Anybody ever done that that's not in that current generation? Anybody ever felt like that? You created expectations in your head, and then you realize that the expectations are challenging at best, if not unrealistic to meet. And then when you realize that the responsibilities and the expectations that you have created for yourself to provide for your family, to care for your family, to do for your family, and to do for your friends, and to be everything that you think you're supposed to be, you realized that all of a sudden you started feeling overwhelmingly guilty for not being able to meet those expectations. Anybody else other than me? See, it's not just an age thing. It's not just a current generation thing. It's a people thing. And so what we have to do as a church is to figure out how do we help them navigate those tensions? How do we earn the right to be heard, to be considered as a possible place where they can find solutions to life's problems and answers to life questions? Because I believe that the church should be a place where they can do that. They can find answers And the church should be a place where they can find solutions. And the answers and the solutions is helping them discover what it means to follow Jesus. And so as we work through kind of what that looks like and what that does, there are some understandings that we need to have of the people who are trying to come in through the open doors, okay? Now, I'm still trying to embed these in my mind. Are they on the screen? Okay, good. So I'm still trying to embed them in my mind to be able to recite them quickly and clearly. But here's some of what we did. We want them to know that your time is important to us. We understand the challenges that you face of balancing your schedule and your kids' schedules and work and home and family, and we understand that. And your time is important, so we're going to honor your time. We're going to approach things in a way where we're not going to compete for your time, but we're going to complement your time. And then the other one is, we aren't perfect and don't expect you to be perfect either. Now, this one I had a hard time with. Because I realize that some of the people who are disconnected from God and church have their lives far more together than I do. And so the only thing I can do is to say to them, we're not perfect, and we don't expect you to be perfect either. In fact, we're glad you're not perfect, and we're glad you know we're not perfect. Okay, next one. Developing meaningful relationships is difficult, but possible. People are looking for a place to belong. We are created as relational beings, and therefore one of our deepest longings is meaningful relationships. And we need to be a place where they know meaningful relationships is difficult, but possible. Financial margin is important and can be realized. There are people who sit in here today and people who sit out there today who are stressed out beyond imagination financially. And they feel, if I could just get a handle on the financial aspect of my life, life would be better and I would be better at life, and the unrealistic expectations and the guilt feelings and all of that would be manageable if I could just get a handle on that. Discovering how to approach money and stuff in God's way provides answers and solutions, and they need to know that we know financial margin is important and can be realized. You can feel safe and secure, or you can feel secure in a world that feels chaotic. Real quick on this, anybody ever noticed how chaotic our world seems? Anybody ever worry about being secure in a world that feels chaotic? Then we get it, okay? And then you can impact the world. A chaotic world needs to be impacted. So, with that, we want them to understand that we understand and we're going to figure out how to be a credible voice in the midst of the unrealistic expectations and guilt feelings that they're experiencing around these things. And we want them to know that figuring these things out is not something that they have to do alone, but the church is a place where they can discover those things and they can discover them in meaningful relationship together. And so here are some commitments that we make as a church as part of who we are and our story. We will walk with you through the process of understanding what a growing relationship looks like without judgment and unrealistic expectations. This is so much all of what we do. It is about walking with people into a growing relationship with Jesus, and doing so in a way with grace and truth, but in love and without judgment and unrealistic expectations. Okay? So the next one, we will love and embrace your family and protect the environments they are participating in. We will do everything we can do to make sure that this and everything we do is a safe and secure place in which you can come in and feel secure in a world that feels chaotic. Next slide. We will not focus on money, but will direct you to healthy habits leading to generosity, because we believe that it is generosity that breaks the hold that money and stuff can have on the human heart. God does not mind you having money and stuff. God just doesn't want money and stuff to have you. And so when we talk about money around here, we do not talk about money through the lens of what we want from you. We talk about it through the lens of what we want for you. And that is that we want you to discover how to have money and stuff without money and stuff having you. We will give you the tools to create margin in your time and resources, joy in your relationships, and security in your life. We will be a place that provides tools that helps people discover how God can make a difference in their lives. Now, again, I have tried to sum up effectively a year's worth of work, multiple teams, and tons and tons and tons of conversations. I am sure that the designer, every time they looked down at their phone and saw a text or a call from me, were like, oh my word. Because there were countless, countless conversations about what this looks like and how this shapes out for us as Hurricane Community Church. Again, there are all sorts of different lights, all sorts of shapes, sizes, colors, and all of that. But they all serve one purpose: to reveal the properties of the object it reflects. As Hurricane Community Church, we are to be the light of the world that reflects God and right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ to the world around us. So, welcome to Hurricane Community Church. We are grateful for our past, and we are grateful for all those who came before us to lay the groundwork for this moment. This moment when we launch as Hurricane Community Church. Now, as you leave today, you'll have the opportunity to pick up a couple of things. And there will there be people back there handing them out? Good. I thought that was the plan. So, who doesn't love sticky notes? Okay? Yeah, I knew there's something wrong with you, but so we have a pad of sticky notes with the logo and the church's website on it, and we've got some really cool pens for you to take. And we also have an updated information card. And each and every one of you can take one of these information cards. And again, we're still tweaking stuff out and reviewing and all that. But you can take one of these info cards and you just kind of look through. This is kind of what we'll hand out to new here people when they come through the doors and stuff like that. But you can take this and just kind of get a better feel. In the meantime, you can go out to hurricanecommunity.church. Check out the new website. If you are on our email distribution list tomorrow morning, you will receive an email with updated social media handles where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all of that. YouTube channel, the current one is still active. The email describes this or explains this too. But our new YouTube channel can't be launched for 30 days because of something that Google told us. And so we just had to listen to them and say, okay. New email addresses, and we've got some. Oh, you know, I told you Matthew was a tax collector. One of the big hang-ups in some of the stuff being ready to unroll when we wanted to unroll it is the IRS. I'm just letting you know that. We have some paperwork sitting on someone's desk somewhere that we're waiting for an answer back, and we've been waiting on it for a year and a half. And so, anyway, new emails and all of that will be active tomorrow morning. So if you want to reach me by email, I will have you all blocked. No. If you want to reach me by email, you can reach me at dan@hurricanecommunity.church. If you want to reach Amanda, you can reach her at amanda@hurricanecommunity.church. If you have a question about something you're not really sure who to send it to, don't send it to me. Send it to hello@hurricanecommunity.church, and that will go to Amanda and my inbox both, and then we can figure out who it goes to. So all that will come out tomorrow and all that. So it has been really, really cool to be together with you, and it is my honor and my privilege to serve as the lead pastor of Hurricane Community Church. Though I am bummed that some of the stuff wasn't ready to roll out, I am more excited for what we were able to roll out and what we were able to do today, and for what God is doing in the midst and in the life of Hurricane Community Church to invite people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. One last thing. I know I'm over time this morning. Well, you know, here we are. We said we will honor your time. And I'm a few minutes over. So one last thing. So as you drove by in the last couple of days or drove in this morning, you noticed that something was up with the sign out front, right? Okay. So on Friday, they did what they did and then covered it and all that at our request so that we could have this moment. Friday, we were at a varsity basketball game, which, just so you know, my kid's school won the Johnson County Championship last night. Only 2 years after being deemed good enough to be invited to participate in the county tournament. So anyway, we were at a ball game Friday night, and somebody from the game came over and asked, and he says, what is going on at your church? They said, we drove by and we saw the sign, and it says, no peeking. And they said, so something has to be going on and all that. And so then, was it Saturday or Friday? Friday? So Friday night, I got a text message, and there was a picture of the sign that said, no peeking, and a face up in the corner. And these people had driven out here just to see if the sign had been changed and was up and available. So, to who you are, and I know who you are, because we covered it for that very reason. So, as they leave today, it'll be uncovered, right? Is it uncovered yet? No? It will be uncovered. You better get it. You better get it before somebody beats you out the door, because there are people that scoot out of here quick. So, the sign will be uncovered. You'll be able to see the new sign out front. And then over the next couple of weeks, as we iron out the kinks, the rest of the stuff will come in. But it is an exciting time in the life of the church. And I am grateful for you and to you for being here to launch with us this morning. So let me pray for us. We'll roll the preview for a series that we start next week called Better. How many people have ever found themselves in a situation where you wanted life to be better? Hopefully, we have some answers to questions and solutions to problems through the series Better that we start next week. So let me pray for us. We'll roll the preview video for you. When the preview video is over, you're dismissed. And thanks for being here. Have a great week. I expect, because we're all about unrealistic expectations, I expect to see each and every one of you back here next Sunday and to invite a friend to come with you. So let's pray, or let me pray for you. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together and the opportunity that we have to launch together as Hurricane Community Church. And may we be a light to the world that reflects you in such a way that we invite people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of entrusting us with the greatest message in history. message that transforms more than just this life, but our entire eternities. And may we help people choose to follow Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.